are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, October the 21st. And Blake Griffin, a neutral or maybe even positive trade asset? This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. Appreciate you guys sticking with us during the longest offseason of my life and probably your life too. But today we're going to talk about what Zach Lowe is talking about, which is music to the ears of Pistons fans concerning Blake Griffin. And Brian's going to talk about a guy who reminds me of kind of a poor man's version of maybe a future Blake Griffin. Like I said, poor man's version of Blake Griffin. And I've got a prediction for you guys at the end, one I've been meaning to throw out there, a bold call of the draft. If you listen to the show, my predictions have been pretty good when I throw something out there. I've got a juicy one for you, although it's pretty logical. It's maybe not as much of a going out on a limb as I have in the past. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Go ahead and follow the Play Michigan account as well, Play_Michigan. Really appreciate that from you guys as well. Give Brian Shook, the show contributor extraordinaire, a follow on Twitter at @BShook12 while we're handing out follows left and right. But Pistons Twitter was happy today after a sad day yesterday. By the way, I saw Christian Wood and Sekou together at a gym on the Instagram story. So now we're happy again. All is right in Pistons Twitter world. But even better than that was what I heard on a podcast, and I'm sure you guys have heard it or have heard about it by now, some real info about there about Blake Griffin from Zach Lowe of ESPN.com, one of the better journalists covering the league, one of the more connected journalists covering the league as well, the Low Post podcast on ESPN with guest Bill Simmons, the godfather of podcasting. And they talked about trade proposals and things that might happen this offseason, just throwing things out there with a little bit of reportage as well from Zach Lowe. I think it was Bill that threw out a trade proposal at Zach Lowe concerning the Golden State Warriors and the number two pick. It's kind of the hot thing that people are talking about right now in terms of trades. It makes a lot of sense that Golden State might look to acquire more of a helper now type of player on a team that has championship aspirations, although not out of the question that they hold on to it. Or maybe this is a way to get off of the Andrew Wiggins contract. So along those lines, like I said, I think it was Simmons that threw out this trade proposal by the Golden State Warriors. And again, this isn't reporting something that's out there. They're just throwing scenarios around. I'll get to the cool part later. But the scenario was Andrew Wiggins and the number two pick by Golden State to the Detroit Pistons for Blake Griffin and number seven. I'm not crazy about this move. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. If you listen to the show, you know I don't like the top of the draft. I have no need to move up in this draft. I think that there are flawed players in the top three, guys that you will regret handing your keys to the franchise to. And I also recognize the fact that, you know, one of these guys in 2-3 years might make me look like an idiot. I'm fully prepared for that. I've been an idiot before. I'm prepared to look like an idiot once again. But to me, sitting at seven like the Pistons were in the lottery was almost dodging a bullet in some ways. Go get yourself a solid player or use that seventh pick to trade down, get some more assets. Either of those just fine with me. So I'm not really interested in any kind of move that moves up from 7-2 in a pick swap there, because I think you might get one of these roll the dice kind of guys that could set your potential franchise back and doesn't really advance your culture in the way that I'm hoping Troy Weaver does moving forward. So that's my take on 7-2. Now, Blake Griffin for Andrew Wiggins. I'm not an Andrew Wiggins guy. I'm not giving up on him like everyone else in the world is. But certainly with that contract, certainly with the lack of outside shooting, you're tantalized by the athleticism, sure. But for that money, 3 more years left in the deal. Average annual value a little bit lower than Blake Griffin. So you are saving a little bit of money in those first 2 years with this deal, but then the third year adding that $30-plus million contract in a team that needs to be clearing out the cap sheet, not adding on to it. And I don't think Andrew Wiggins has that star potential where he's, you know, just in need of that right situation for him to become the second best player on a very good team in the NBA. I don't think that that is Andrew Wiggins' destiny here. I think that the Timberwolves made a mistake in giving him that big contract, and I think that Golden State is already probably looking to shop him. It probably makes a lot of sense for them to do that, and the Detroit Pistons should not be that team that takes it on. I promise I'll get to the good part in a little while, but the other thing that Zach threw out there, Zach Lowe of ESPN.com, threw out that a third-party general manager or front office member threw out to him a hypothetical trade that really doesn't warrant much talking about because it's just one of those throw out there kind of deals. And he mentioned that would either side of Detroit and Utah be interested in a Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin for Mike Conley deal? This doesn't really do much for me either, and I'll tell you why. I just think that Derrick Rose is an asset right now, and I don't think the Pistons should be using one of their few assets to get off of Blake Griffin. Now, I don't think Blake Griffin has a lot of value right now. We'll get to that later, but I don't think he's such a big albatross for the next 2 years for the Pistons that they need to be sacrificing an asset to get rid of him. And Mike Conley doesn't do much for me. Now, he's 1 year left in the deal as opposed to 2 years for Blake, so you get out of that second year of the Blake Griffin's contract. If it was just Blake for Mike Conley, you do that deal because you get out of that second year. I just think that Derrick Rose, you should be thinking about moves that help out your future when trading away Derrick Rose. Now, if they made a move like this and used the cap space surrounding Derrick Rose to do something in the future, there's ways to make other moves that would help out your future. But I just think that Derrick Rose, a smart front office, takes advantage of this situation, hopefully this offseason, makes a move for Derrick Rose that helps out the Pistons in the future. And I think with Blake Griffin, you can live with it. I've said this before. Coming into this offseason, I thought that this was not a good time to trade Blake Griffin because, first of all, he's only 2 more years, and this team is not going to be good this year. It's not going to be good next year. So dealing with the fact that you got Blake Griffin on your cap sheet for 2 years is okay, especially when next year he's an expiring contract, and at that point he might have some value going into the following summer. So my contention was that trading Blake is a bad idea this offseason. However, the big news from Zach Lowe is that he says that he has been talking to teams out there, and teams are asking what he's hearing about Blake Griffin. Now, if you know anything about how insiders work throughout Adrian Wojnarowski, guys like Zach Lowe, Schefter, of course, with the NFL is probably most famous for this. The way that they get this information is that they give information. Agents talk to them, teams talk to them because they have some other information. It's like a market of information. So it's kind of a you get this info, I get this info. They're kind of an intermediate between some of these teams. So Zach Lowe, if he passes that along, that's legitimate information. So if teams are asking about Blake Griffin and the medical reports are positive this offseason, now, does that mean that Blake Griffin brings you a big haul? No, I think that that changes the calculus from pretty significant negative contract to maybe a neutral contract, maybe a slight negative contract, maybe in a perfect world, a slight positive contract. If you got a team out there, maybe it's Golden State, maybe it's Portland, maybe it's Phoenix, maybe it's this one of these teams that's, and yet Golden State's not really in the second tier or third tier of contenders, but someone who can kind of use a big jump for their team going forward, you got to roll the dice. Obviously, it's a big risk for Blake Griffin. He might be hurt. He might be washed. We don't know. We haven't seen him on the court like he was in 18-19 when he was an All-NBA type of player and someone who could have helped any team out despite the big contract number. So this is, I mean, you got LeBron and AD out there. You got Giannis out there. You got Luka out there. You got good teams all over the Western Conference. Throw in Golden State. Throw in Brooklyn into the Eastern Conference as well. Teams have to make real moves. Teams have to make some risks if they want to get into that upper echelon or if they want to turn themselves into a Golden State type of probably also ran kind of an outside minor contender. Things have to really go well for them to get back to where they were a couple years ago. It can happen, but I just think that there needs to be some really shrewd moves for things to happen and fall their favor. And obviously, Blake Griffin, big risk. However, could work out for one of those teams. So that changes the calculus for me. if Blake Griffin is a neutral type of asset or maybe a slight negative or hopefully even a slight positive, you can make that deal. Again, a roll of the dice for a contending team to make, but a lot of good teams out there that might need to get better. Blake is a potential avenue for that. You could see how it would make a lot of sense for a lot of teams. And that 2 years on his deal, a little bit easier of a pill to swallow than the one that Stan Van Gundy swallowed a couple of years ago. So some good news from Pistons fans about some information out there. And so get those trade machines going. Think about the players you want to take on. Now, does that mean you take on some really bad money for a bad asset? I'm in favor of that. Or does that mean you take on a project like an Andrew Wiggins type who has some upside youth potential to help a bad and developing Pistons team going forward? Yeah, there's types of players out there who might fit that bill as well, who are overpaid, or two medium bad contracts, that kind of thing as well. So we'll throw some of those out there. We'll talk about that leading up to the free agency period as well. And now that we have some real information about it, I feel comfortable throwing you guys out there to the trade machine. Come up with your ideas, come up with your moves, and we'll talk about it going forward here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But up next, the next Blake Griffin, like I said, the poor man's version, maybe the very homeless man's version of Blake Griffin. Brian's going to tell us about that draft prospect. That's coming up next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. You hear it from me, from Matt's lips to your ears. The new and improved Built Bar, even more delicious than the old ones, which were pretty damn good in and of themselves. 18 amazing flavors, including the nut and non-nut flavors. So you can mix and match or stay away from the ones that you need to stay away from. 6 new flavors in the boxes: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. If I was talking to the Built Bar guys right now, I'd ask this. Why is there one flavor that's like a Ben and Jerry's pun? The cherry barcia. Like, it's just weird. It kind of sticks out like a sore thumb that there's one pun flavor out of all of them. The 12 OG flavors, no puns here. German chocolate, double chocolate, chocolate chocolate, all good stuff. Coconut almond, my dad would love that. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. The Built Bars are healthy. They're built for the health-conscious guy. You can lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. These bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great for the low-carb diet as well. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Yes, sir!
A few weeks ago, host Matt Shook asked you listeners to submit your opinions on the top 7 draft prospects for the Pistons. And after a healthy response from you, he compiled those submissions and unveiled the list of 18 players that you all voted for in the order in which you guys selected. We have decided to take that list and work our way up and give a more in-depth summary of those prospects. So today we look at a prospect that was 10th on that list, Obi Toppin, a 22-year-old, 6'9", 220-pound power forward. Toppin was born in Brooklyn, New York. His father was a renowned streetball player in the city and some lesser professional leagues, garnering the nickname Dunker's Delight during his career. And after returning to New York from Florida, heading into his junior year in high school, Toppin would play just 1 year on varsity for Ossining High School. He averaged over 20 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals, leading Ossining to a conference championship. After graduating and not receiving any D1 offers, Toppin chose to go to Mount Zion Prep School in Baltimore, Maryland, averaging 17-8-4 in that postgraduate year. Maybe the most important stat that happened was he grew from 6'5" to 6'9", and he got interest from several D1 programs. Obi chose to go to the University of Dayton to play for the Flyers. After being ruled academically ineligible, he redshirted his true freshman year, and in his redshirt freshman year, he averaged over 14 points and 5 rebounds and was named the Atlantic 10 Rookie of the Year and named to the All-A-10 First Team, an honor not bestowed upon a freshman since Lamar Odom in the 90s. Toppin declared for the 2019 NBA draft, but did not hire an agent, and after a few workouts with NBA teams, Toppin withdrew his name and returned to Dayton for his redshirt sophomore season. Toppin's return would produce a lot of notoriety and hardware for his individual effort, averaging 20 points and almost 8 rebounds a night. Not only was he named to the the A-10 first team for the second straight year, he was also named the Conference Player of the Year as well. The accolades did not end there. Other awards included First Team All-American, the Carl Malone Award, Consensus Player of the Year, AP Player of the Year, the NABC Player of the Year, Naismith College Player of the Year, the Oscar Robertson Trophy, the John R. Wooden Award, as well as being named Player of the Year by CBS, The Athletic, NBC Sports, and USA Today. Toppin would forego his final 2 years of eligibility to enter this year's draft, having scored over 1,000 points in his 2 college seasons. He told ESPN how his game might help an NBA team.
I feel like with my athleticism, that helps a lot. I run the floor really well. When I was at Dayton, they kind of told me if I wasn't getting a rebound, get down, be the first one down the floor. So as soon as the ball comes off the backboard and I know my teammate has it, I'm gone. I'm first one. I'm like a jet going down the court. So I feel like that helps. I feel like I can spread the floor a little bit. I can shoot a little bit, pick and pop situations, being able to put the ball on the floor a little bit. I feel like I didn't show it a lot in Dayton just because of the position that I was being played at. Mm-hmm. And what they needed me to do, I was just on the court doing what they needed me to do, and it helped me a lot. As you can see, like, where I am now.
A super athletic big, Toppin is flying up some draft boards lately. With his ability and speed to run the floor, Toppin is one of the most creative finishers at the rim in this year's class. He has the second bounce ability and instincts to take over games on the offensive glass and is a constant threat for lobs, as he is a great vertical spacer. On the perimeter, Obi has shown the form and touch to think that he may one day be an above average big man from deep, and shooting almost 40% from college three, albeit on less than 3 attempts per game, show that his form can get results right away. If he can turn that important skill from passable to a plus, his ceiling could be in the stratosphere. Toppin demonstrates good footwork and a soft touch in the post and uses his body well on the inside. Shooting almost 70% from 2-point range shows that he knows how to finish at the rim. His ability and explosiveness in a pick-and-roll situation makes him a problem for opposing defenders. A highly efficient player, Toppin recognizes doubles well and passes away from them at an above average level. Even though Toppin only played 2 years in college, if you factor in his redshirt year and postgraduate year in prep school, Toppin is already 22. So some think his ceiling might not be much higher than the high level he is already at. While his creativity is fun on the offensive end, his instincts and basketball IQ don't seem to translate to the defensive end as much. He is often late with helping, a problem that is exacerbated when combining his slower recognition and below-average lateral quickness. He seems to second-guess himself on defense at times and gets lost or out of position more frequently than you'd want. His motor and effort throughout an entire game is sometimes questioned, but make no mistake about it, when he is running and flying, few can keep up with this athletic big. Some more recent mocks have Toppin getting into the upper half of the lottery, but most non-reactionary ones have him in the mid to mid-late lottery. He should certainly be on the Pistons' radar, as he is expected to be selected right around their selection, and getting a player with his collegiate accolades isn't a common opportunity with the number 7 pick. Some good NBA comparisons I've seen are Sean Marion and Kenyon Martin. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to you joining us on the next installment when we look at forward Isaac Okoro.
Thanks again to the man, Brian Shook, coming through with the draft profile once again. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I like Obi Toppin. I think he's going to be a strong NBA player. If I'm looking at the sportsbook odds for Rookie of the Year right now, maybe even after the draft too, and he's sitting there at like 9-1 for Rookie of the Year, I might throw money on that as well. I think he's going to help a team. I think he's going to have a long, solid NBA career. All that said, I have no interest in the Detroit Pistons picking him at number 7, and we'll get into that with Brian on Fridays with Brian later on this week, talking about a couple of interesting draft prospects as the draft profiles continue from our guy, Brian Shook. But up next, we're going to give my big take, my big prediction for the draft. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. But hey, how often do you use excuses like I had a long day at work or I'm just not feeling it It isn't easy to talk about erectile dysfunction, but Roman makes it easy to discuss and treat ED. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medicine with a free 2-day shipping as well. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to talk about, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn. You can get up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOn for up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/LockedOn. All right, so I got a take for you guys. As time goes on, this is becoming more and more clear to me, and I just think that there are several avenues for this take to come true, and I just think that when you kind of add all those things together, it's going to happen. And my take is that my big prediction for draft night is that the Pistons are going to walk away from the NBA draft with more than one first-round pick. They're going to take more than one player in the first round. Now, does that mean they take someone at number 7 and then add another selection to that? Possibly. Does that mean that they trade down from 7 for multiple first-round picks? Looking at Boston with 14, 26, and 30. I'm looking at the LA Lakers at 28, trying to add pieces that Derrick Rose move might make sense to them. I'm looking at the Milwaukee Bucks perpetually trying to shed salary. They got Indiana's number 24. We've talked about the Utah Jazz. Rudy Gobert's name's out there. Mike Conley's name's out there. So, you know, a lot of moving parts with those contracts. Philadelphia's got to figure out something. They're sitting at number 21. Utah's at number 23. Denver's got to figure something out. They've got plenty of young prospects. Don't really need another first-round pick. They got to figure out some salary situations. Jeremy Grant is suddenly a high-dollar type of player. Probably they're sitting at number 22. Dallas already has Porzingis to a big contract. They might be more interested in clearing out some space and roster spots. Number 18, Portland, they're always a contender to make a move, kind of trying to make that next step. Number 16, Orlando might look to shake up the entire roster. At number 15, where is that franchise going? Really kind of nowhere. Man, it's just team after team makes a lot of sense for them to think about making a move. The Phoenix Suns, we know about their Luke Kennard interest from the trade deadline. Luke for number 10 makes a little bit of sense for both teams. There's just a lot of teams out there. Toronto's got to make moves for the future. Maybe they want to think about trading number 29. Oklahoma City is a team that has all sorts of young players. Maybe they want to trade that pick because they've got all sorts of picks in the future. It just makes a lot of sense for a lot of these teams. Looking at the Pistons cap situation and the fact that they could use some more infusion of young talent, it just makes a lot of sense for one of these scenarios to come through, whether it's the Boston trade down, whether it's just acquiring a pick for taking on a contract into your space. It just makes too much sense, and I believe that the Pistons will walk away from draft night with at least two picks made in the first round, possibly even more. That's my big take. And let me know what you think. Get on the Google voicemail line, 810-666-1546. Let us know your reaction on Twitter as well. And tell me I'm an idiot. Tell me if I'm right. And who do you want picked for the Pistons during draft time? I mean, we are less than a month till draft time. I'm actually getting a little bit excited about this. Talking NBA offseason, the rest of the podcasts, the rest of the world is now in NBA offseason mode, where we've been sitting here since the middle of March just waiting for those people to come along and join us on this journey. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I am your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys probably on Friday.